Hey, good morning. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Got a good show lined up for you here on this Friday. Later in the program, we're going to talk with C. Clyde Jones, previewing his annual 5K that's coming up later this month. And we'll also hear from the animal shelter. Deb Watkins from T. Russell Wright's Animal Shelter joining us at 9:45. But we'll start things off with our monthly chat with Ascension Via Christi Hospital, and President and CEO Bob Koppel joins us on Zoom here today. Good morning, Bob.
Morning, Brendan.
It is a pleasure to have you on. Of course, obviously the circumstances the last few months, so it's been great to get kind of your perspective on everything going on. Thought I'd start off first with an update on COVID patients that you've been caring for. Seems like we've been pretty fortunate here that the numbers have been pretty low. I think the most I've seen in the last few weeks is up to 4 patients being treated at one time. Give us a kind of a status on how those patients are doing.
So we continue to, we have, I think, for the last, most of this week, we've had 3 positives in-house. Our 4th patient that was with us through most of last week actually got transferred to another tertiary facility because they needed a service that we didn't provide here in Manhattan. And I think that patient was at ICU level, still at an ICU level, and so critical care is what that patient needs. Our other patients, 2 of them are still on our medical unit, and then we did move one of those patients to our ICU, I think last evening. So we kind of, in that respect, fairly stable numbers. The majority of the inpatients we have had now for almost the last 2 weeks are all from a assisted living facility. And so that's actually a positive thing in some respects because we don't have folks coming from all over the community. On the outpatient side, we actually are seeing we are starting to see a shift in who's positive. So we there's a few people get swabbed every day in our emergency room. And then we also do lab work for some of the local clinics. And then, so we're responsible for reporting those results, not only back to that clinic, but also to the health department. So I think every day this week, we've been turning in 12 to 16 positives. And we are starting to see just in the last few days, at least the swabs we're processing are not so much. There's still a few of the student age population, that 18 to 24, but we are now starting to see people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, a few folks that are a little more senior than that. And so that to us, again, is an indication you're starting to see perhaps some of that wider community spread. And so that's just something we have to watch. And there's a little bit of a time lag to everything. I know we've talked about that before. And so you may see the first clusters or whatever pop up in a certain population. And then you just have to kind of see, so what's the ripple out from that? And who are those people interacting with, either through work or school or activities, et cetera? And then that's how you kind of determine what's the next steps. The testing that occurred this week, at the up in Randolph, Ogden yesterday, and then out at Seco Park on Wednesday morning, that actually is going to be really helpful data to see when those test results come back, because you have several hundred folks kind of from across the community, not necessarily from a given population, if you will. And so that, I think, will be really interesting to see, to give an idea of what the general spread actually is. And that's probably the best way to do that, quite honestly. Most of the people we're doing swabs for example, are people who have some level of symptoms or known they've been exposed, or else they wouldn't have gone to their physician to get swabbed. So we're actually testing a pretty specific population. When you do the general testing like was done on Wednesday and Thursday, that's probably a better indication of what's going on everywhere.
Well, and I imagine we're going to see more of that as time goes on. This is the second round of that free COVID testing. Is that kind of your thought as well?
Yeah. So the first, if I remember correctly, the first round, which was it was almost 3 weeks ago now, it was about 3.5% positive rate. And so if we would come back again with something in that range, if you extrapolate that to our county population, that's actually a couple thousand people. So that's why it's really important to kind of get that kind of wider view, if you will, of the level of positivity in the community.
You know, and I know as the pandemic lingers on here, and it seems like there's no end in sight, it's easy to get a little complacent sometimes. What would happen if we just all of a sudden just took away all the restrictions? How quickly do you think this would morph out of control?
So our experience elsewhere around the world, and somewhat here in the United States in some locations, it usually takes about 3 to 4 weeks is all. Because we've certainly seen that when people have gone from fairly tight restrictions to almost no restrictions. I think, so our community in particular, Riley County, and for the most part, Gary and Pott County, have taken a little more measured approach to that. And so there's certainly been, you think back to where we were in April with our restrictions to where we are now, that's pretty significant change, actually. But it's been a lot more measured, I think a lot more, perhaps a little more thoughtful and careful. And so that's helped a lot with trying mitigating spread and also mitigating the negative consequences of that spread. And I would probably, as one of the healthcare leaders in the community, I would advocate for we continue that kind of measured, thoughtful approach, because that's how we best manage. And I think you have the perspective of this is a way to perhaps reduce fatalities. But what we're learning more and more is that a lot of people who have COVID actually as an outpatient are having side effects start showing up a few weeks after they're no longer positive. And really, until we have a better understanding of all those side effects, I think there's still got to be lots of caution. The side effects don't appear to be age dependent and not even necessarily dependent upon comorbidities or other underlying health issues. And so that's why that's actually, I think, a bigger question now. Because if you have, say, 1,000 of our students that are positive, how many of them within 1 to 2 months are going to develop some sort of cardiac issue, a pulmonary issue? We've had some really strange neurological things that pop up with some people. We have a really good view of those who have been inpatients just because you really get to know them and you kind of sit on them, and there's more data tracking once they're discharged. And they're typically under the care of a physician. And so you've got all of these things going on pretty consistently and a little more tightly from a feedback perspective. We just don't have some of those same processes in place for all the folks who maybe only felt bad for a day and then they went on with their lives, but then 6 weeks later they now have massive fatigue or they've got this or that going on. And so that's partly just we got to give this again some time, give physicians time to see and observe and learn, and then we'll kind of know what the trajectory will be for perhaps anybody who's had some sort of COVID experience.
And I understand the hospital has some visitor restrictions in place. Those have kind of changed as time's gone on. What do you currently have implemented?
Well, so we actually have a tiered system now, visitation. So we're at like a level B. And so level B is every inpatient can have a visitor during their hospital stay. It's the same person every day. We have visitation on the inpatient units from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And I do think, if you go back to April, we had no visitors. Actually, into most of July, actually, I think through most of July, we had no visitors. I would anticipate that will continue to flex up and down too. If we were to see a massive increase in community positivity, we would probably take steps again to restrict visitation. And this is about, it's actually not something you want to do. Just as a healthcare person, we don't want to do that. But it is about how do you create a safe environment for the patients that we're taking care of, and all the staff and the physicians who are taking care of them. And one way to do that is to limit who's coming in and out and the restrictions. So that's why we have the restrictions. We've always allowed visitation for births or beginning of life. And then also we have managed to always figure out a way to get visitation for end of life situations. And that sometimes takes getting a little creative, especially if the patients or family members are positive COVID. So we've got some processes in place now that we've worked through that. I think the key for us is just we've got to be flexible. And depending on what we're seeing in the community, that's going to drive what restrictions we have in place. We actually still restrict visitation for all outpatients, and that includes the emergency room. So we, and a piece of that is, if you've ever been in an emergency room, those are not large rooms. They're just basically exam rooms. And so it's very hard to social distance. And the more people you have in there, it's even more difficult to create that social distance until we know what's going on with the patient, et cetera. And also just to give them, it's easier to get equipment in that in and out of those rooms, et cetera.
And we were talking before the show got started, and really hospital workers have had to be kind of on alert for quite some time now. How difficult is that coming into work every day and knowing you don't quite know exactly what to expect?
Well, you know, I think to be very candid, it wears on folks. It wears on the nursing staff, our technical staff, our therapists, wears on the providers, the physicians and our advanced practice registered nurses, our physician assistants that work in the building. And again, we're kind of a collection of folks who are working here every day, too. It's our own staff, and then the bulk of the physicians and providers in town are independent. So they're coming and going, too, while they're taking care of their patients. You know, I think we all train and we do drilling around events. But those events typically, you know, even when, say, you have a bad storm or you have some sort of other, you know, big accident or something like that, that tends to be of actually a pretty limited duration. It's at most, you know, the drills I participated in at most went 1 or 2 days. And so now to have people kind of on alert, if you will, or kind of stood up for this constant readiness, and we're going into our 7th month here shortly, that definitely that just wears on people. It is stressful. You know, I give credit actually to our staff. We've tried to provide resources through some different programs. We try to create some activities that would kind of help reduce some of that stress. But I do give credit to our folks. You know, for the most part, we've actually managed through this incredibly well. We've not lost people because of it. We've not lost, I don't think we've lost our approach to how we're trying to take care of patients because of it. And it's just trying to figure things out. You know, we think it's important that you get to know your caregiver. And that doesn't matter if you're getting physical therapy or if you're in the ICU. It is really difficult to do that when that person's wearing a mask and eye protection and perhaps an isolation gown and gloves. And so it's just trying to get really creative of how can you still make those personal connections with people when they really can't see you and your voice is muffled perhaps, or, you know, it becomes a little scarier, quite honestly. So how do we make that still an environment where people get care, know that they're getting taken care of, and that we really care about them as individuals, not just their illness? And how do you still make those connections?
We are talking with Bob Koppel from Ascension Via Christi Hospital. He's the president and CEO. We're going to continue our conversation after a quick break here on K-Man. Stay tuned. More in Focus after this.